Bij ons is de Engelstalige singer-songwriter Blair Yallans. We gaan met hem praten over zijn unieke muziekstijl en de release van zijn nieuwste album Burning Man. Tot zo!
Blair Yallans, welcome at Hello Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So how was your flight?
It was easy enough, a little early.
Yeah.
5 o'clock's a little bit too bright for me.
It is.
But I managed.
You managed.
I made it. Yeah, it was on time. And
okay.
Yeah.
So you have been here before, right, in the Netherlands?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been to Amsterdam and a few times.
Okay.
And a snake up in the north.
Snake.
Many years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice place.
Yeah, it was a long time. I don't remember much apart from the strongman competitions.
Yeah,
and,
we have that too here.
It was flat too, but I believe most of the country is.
We are very proud of our country being flat.
Yeah.
So
it's very different to my country.
Yes.
New Zealand. Yeah,
New Zealand.
That's not very flat.
No, not at all.
New Zealand is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many sheep are there in New Zealand?
65 million last time they counted, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And how many people?
About a 20th of that, 4 million.
Okay.
The sheep should revolt.
They should, right?
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Yeah.
How was it growing up in New Zealand?
It was, it was great because there's lots of outdoors, you know, it's a very outdoors place to grow up. There's lots of space and beaches and forests and woods. there's a lot of influence coming once you know, get beyond 10 and 11 and you start getting interested in the world.
The greater world. Yes.
There's influences from the UK coming in and America kind of equally. Yeah. And also the Pacific Islands. So there's lots of cultural, great music coming from Pacific Island.
Okay.
It's interesting in that aspect. As a young kid, I just remember the space. I was born in the city, but I grew up in the countryside.
Okay.
That's
nice.
After about five. Yeah.
Also, where you got your first inspiration for music?
I think I got my first inspiration as a means to kind of escape. It was a means of escapism, really, from not suburban because it was in the country, but like...
Everybody has. When you're young, you know, everybody thinks that the city you're living in is so great, but for yourself, it's always a little bit different.
Yeah.
So you want to go and explore a little bit more what's out there.
Yeah, and there were things happening at that time when I was starting to get into music that I wanted to get away from, like family problems. And music was a great way, a means of escaping.
How is that, the type of music from New Zealand?
A lot of very popular music is reggae, dub. There's bands like Fat Freddy's Drop and electronic. It's like a big mishmash of electronic and reggae and dub and dance music.
Yes.
It's quite popular. But there's also a folk and country revival happening from New Zealand. There was a record label, still is, I think, called Flying Nun.
Flying Nun?
Yeah. Wow. Have you heard of Flying Nun?
No.
Well, in my dreams.
And that was like late 60s and early 70s. Flying Nun sort of was the platform for a lot of New Zealand bands like The Chills and Tall Dwarfs and later the Straitjacket Fits. They were really popular bands, and Flying Nun started them on their career, and it was a real Flying Nun sound. And there was actually quite a lot of influence from the UK coming in to that sort of music. And it became really popular with like Seattle, Bay Area and East Coast American bands too. I think Pearl Jam, they'd come to New Zealand. They were very fond of some New Zealand bands.
Maybe because of the style, the similarity.
Chris Knox is a very popular in the East Coast of America, or was when he was touring. So yeah, there is a real similarity. And if you actually listen to a band, say like The Strokes, which I think they put out their first album, was it Room on Fire or something?
Sure.
About 10 years ago. And if you listen to that, it's very similar. You can almost hear the influence of Flying Nun New Zealand music coming through into bands like those kind of New York bands.
And
they stole it.
Now we have Blair Jollens. Because you're here also to talk about your LP, Seven Blood.
Yeah.
I've noticed you've received many reviews for it. Which review stands out, you think?
Essential Pop, I think, or Penny Black. They took the time to listen to it more than once and see the depth that was in the music. And also Elsewhere, which is a New Zealand site by Graham Reed, he also took the time and looked deeper into the music.
And that's so very important, of course, that they take the time,
especially with my music, because it sort of eludes genre. It's hard to pigeonhole, so it takes a little bit more time.
Now I understand Burning Man, I believe it's your favorite.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Featuring Irena Mancini.
Yeah.
How was this experience working with her?
She's a great singer, and she's a musician and songwriter in her own right.
Yeah.
And before she sang on that, actually, I was producing some of her own stuff.
Okay.
And it just kind of led into her singing on that song. Actually, Burning Man was originally a track for a movie that I worked on. Sometimes I do soundtracks I compose for films.
And that's an understatement, because you do very well, and I read.
But that film was called The Mad Axeman. Burning Man was a piece that I wrote for that film, and it was only half a song. And after that film, unfortunately, wasn't released yet, I thought that it was strong enough to finish the song and Irena to sing it, and it works really well. We sing well together.
We saw this video, but where exactly was it filmed?
Bolivia.
Okay.
And London, and the salt flats of Bolivia. It's amazing. I mean,
culture shock, or was it?
It was.
You suck
it was
in?
In my whole trip around South America. It was actually one of the most profound places that I visited with my family. It was incredible to be up there, 4,000 meter altitude. And we hired a driver 3 days going into the desert. Irena wasn't there, but we did her stuff back in London and then sewed the two different locations
together. Okay.
Yeah.
Looked great. Do you feel an urge to produce as many songs as possible?
Well, that depends. If I'm in the beginnings of recording an album or entering that sort of writing period, then it's sort of exponential. I want to produce more and more and more until that group or that the LP or the record is finished.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like I need some kind of rest from it. And anyway,
and then
it's quite intense, you know, for me, the writing period. Even though I'm always jotting down ideas, when you are an independent musician, once that record is done, you have to focus your energy on kind of promoting it and touring it. And then, unfortunately, something has to give. So,
like what? Tends to give?
The writing. So,
you can only do so much. It takes a lot of energy, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, yeah, stop and produce some more stuff. But, yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. I'd love to just do it all the time because I think for me, sitting down and writing music is the time. It's like it's very meditative and very spiritually fulfilling. Yeah. Yes, okay. And
yes,
no.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, and no.
I just turned full circle there.
Just say yes.
Yeah. Yes, then.
That's it.
Yeah, I have another question also for you, because you're a singer and songwriter, but I also wonder, how did you find out about your own talent, your ability, the talent for music?
Well, I was really interested from a young age in recording and producing, and I was getting into people like Phil Spector and, the technical side and how do you make a record sound like you hear on the radio. It's such an amazing art.
Yeah.
And I've worked in a few studios throughout my career as like sound designer and recording engineer and later as a producer.
Right.
And it's an art form that I really enjoyed producing other people and also through that my own stuff. And as I was practicing and honing my craft as a producer, I learned that actually the art that I could create using my own voice sounded pretty cool, and it was something that I got really turned on by what I was doing, and I thought that that other people would enjoy it.
Yeah,
and there was a certain honesty that I heard in what I was doing
in your own sound,
in my own sound,
right?
I couldn't necessarily always express in a conversation that seemed to be coming through my music. So I just continued down that avenue that I was enjoying.
Yeah,
and that's how I discovered that actually I had a voice that sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
And could cool. carry the songs.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also quite interesting, because at first you were very interested in like back office.
Yeah.
Being an engineer and producer.
Yeah.
And later on you started to sing your own songs. Mm. That's really nice.
And I was also enjoying the performance aspect of as well, being on stage and, you know, learning that craft of how to work an audience and how to, you know, start communicating that song and then learn to lose that void between the stage and the audience, so that the audience is at one with the performer. And that's been a long journey, but to get to that place, you know, when I go and see a performer, when you're just lost in the music, I think that's when the performer has really won.
Yeah,
as soon as there's some kind of stage, you can feel that they're starting to think about what's going on stage, the audience instantly.
Yeah.
We're going off on a bit of a tangent here, but.
No, it's cool. It's
Flair.
Nice to know, yeah.
What's your favorite guitar? And what are the best snares that go with?
I feel most comfortable with an acoustic.
Yeah.
But I really love Fenders.
Okay, Fender guitar.
When I put on a Gibson, it's just something that doesn't quite feel as comfortable. But the fullness of an acoustic guitar, I mean, I play a Morgan guitar, which is from Canada.
Right.
But yeah, if you're thinking just generally acoustic guitars, or do you mean like the make of guitar?
I think that's an all harder story. Right there.
I didn't know in Canada they also built guitars as well.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare before you perform on stage?
I should prepare more. Yeah. I just
okay.
Assumption. You do not prepare
people
enough?
Like doing their like vocal practice and all this stuff, and I'm just shit, it's time to go on stage now. So I should have prepared.
So you don't prepare at all?
Well, I've tried different things, like, you know, it's peace and quiet, meditation, vocal exercises.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I just would rather not even think about it and just get Wait reminded that time. Actually it's time to go on stage now and just go, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels good when you are on stage?
There's always a sharp anxiety there, which keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
I've tried performing drunk before, and it loses a certain something.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're touring without a band, I have to do it on my own, and I have to operate certain things, and have to be pretty sharp.
You have to be sharp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I can't. You know, I'm not just there.
Yeah.
Backstage doing whatever, and I can, relax.
Yeah.
Did you prepare?
Well, I've tuned the guitar. I can't lie about that.
Yeah. Can we listen to a song?
Yeah.
Are we going to do that?
Yeah, it would be great.
Which song are you going to play for us?
I'm going to do a song now called Not Enough.
Not Enough.
Earth is spinning round. I heard she's slowing down. She's getting old. She's getting Sinking for the sun. He's moving on. He's moving on. And all that's left behind, all of humankind, is not enough. It's not enough. All the love and grace, all that we
That was a very nice song you just did.
Thank you.
And
was it enough?
Not for me.
I don't think so.
And again.
It's not enough.
So no. How was this song received in the Netherlands?
It seems to be getting a lot of love here, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting some radio play, and it's on the way to number one, I believe.
Oh, you're, that's you're not sure? Will that be enough?
Never enough.
Never enough.
No, no.
So what inspired you to create this beautiful song?
Well, my son, he's 8, he's a big fan of nature programs. He's a up-and-coming naturalist, not a naturist, there's a difference.
That's a difference.
We know.
Slightly. Well, I don't know, maybe.
Depends how you see.
I was watching with him program. They were saying that the moon was slowly distancing from Earth. And I thought, that's kind of amazing. That's interesting. It's a little scary. And then I started thinking, the moon must be really pissed with Earth. To be slowly moving home.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I can sometimes relate to that. Sometimes I'm really disgusted with some decisions that, you know, people in power are making. So that was like the beginning, the seed of that song. It's like the moon's now allegiant one is moving on. And then it sort of led to the basic fundamental undercurrent of the song is that what we are doing as in humanity and people in power, governments, the decisions being made are not enough to really get to a place where we need to be, especially environmentally. You know, governments, democracy is almost flawed because they're looking after their own term. They want to appease voters. So that sort of makes it obsolete to me.
Yeah.
There needs to be some really hard decisions made, and whatever's being done now, it's not enough to really get us to where we need to be now for our, you know, for our children. And,
Because you live in London, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you're familiar with the whole Brexit story. How is that for you?
Well, I'm not happy about it. I think that it's another step towards alienating your neighbors and not embracing your neighbors. And it tends to be a direction that the world in the last 4 or 5 years tends to be going in with, you know, the American politics and some other European seeds growing of extreme right and nationalistic people sort of pushing their ideas of anti-immigration that are getting quite a bit of gravitas. I'm personally not into it. And also, I think that it was people were lied to. You know, it's just, it's such a mess. And I just wish that it would unravel and and it would change direction, but no one seems to be, despite marches of nearly a million people.
Yeah, well, because...
It doesn't seem to be happening.
A big decision was made.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should know, but I deleted the news app from my phone because it was so depressing, so you have to educate me.
Yeah.
Well,
let me not bore you with
your story.
It's
very boring, so it's a good thing you did. Blair, do you have lucky socks?
Very lucky, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And
you want to know what's on my socks today?
Yeah.
The silver fern, actually, which is the, it's New Zealand.
Really?
See, there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Our listeners can see,
it was
see,
a gift from my mum.
Yeah.
Thanks, mum.
So,
I'm wearing your socks.
That's great.
I mean, not your socks, but my
new
socks.
No, everybody has his lucky socks. So
I don't wear
I
my
just wanted
socks.
To know, of course.
There's something wrong about that, but I'm sure some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you write?
I like movement and travel. When I'm in some kind of movement that seems to inspire me personally, I think it's the rhythm.
It's a rhythm.
It's a rhythm of movement. Rhythm for me is the beginning of all my songs.
Yeah. Okay.
If there's a rhythm, I mean, a melody can come if there's a rhythm.
Okay. So that comes first instead of the lyrics.
Yeah, the rhythm comes first for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how do you tune in with the lyrics then?
Well, I like to start with something that has a meaning or a gravitas, like one phrase, and then the song can sprout around that song. There's like a mantra.
Yeah.
I like to call it a mantra.
Some people call it a chorus. Yeah.
But as long as it, there's a mantra that then, you know, the song can revolve around. That's the way I've found songwriting.
Okay.
Everybody does it differently. I guess it's a habit.
But it feels like you're coming from a kind of spiritual place as well when you're doing music.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that that's what I look for in other music too.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I mentioned it before, that honesty and spirituality coming through in the music, and just something that's just at surface level, which is the basis of pop music.
Yeah.
And it has its place and its reason, and it keeps the crazy music world going, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not saying there's no depth to all pop music at all.
I know.
Blair, ever considered to become an actor?
I have a lot of respect for actors. I've actually tried. Well, I've gone on a method acting course, and I can see it's a challenging thing to do.
Not for you.
No. I don't know. Well, I haven't really given it. I just was like a 2-month course, and I gave it a go, but I haven't pursued that one.
But would you like to do that anyways?
Yeah, I'd give it a go.
Yeah?
Well, nice. Just think about it. I mean,
all right. I'll keep you posted.
We will push the track Burning Man to a motion picture.
Yeah.
With a strong cast.
My music is quite cinematic.
Very cinematic.
Yeah.
I like it very much. I've seen several videos as well. I like I Will Remember You. I like it as well.
Oh, okay.
It's a romantic song.
Yeah. It's more kind of like on the album, it's quite a structured, traditional song in an old fashioned, in a traditional sense.
Yeah.
Which I'm very fond of traditional songwriting, but Bacharach and
you have
like
this,
that,
Carole King. There is something with it, not only with this bit, but also the other one, like Restless Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in I Will Remember You, the word in burning is involved in the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What is it about you and burning? I mean, in Restless Souls, smoke burns in my eyes something like that.
Yeah.
Then you have Burning Man.
Just when I go to like when I go to the rhyming side, just
no. What's it? That's your
without,
little secret.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't even think about it. Burning. It's a good word.
It's a
very
good
I like
word.
It. Rhymes with earning and yearning.
Yeah.
Gurning.
And yearning.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're here to perform in Belgium and here in the Netherlands, right?
Yes.
You're also going to sing another song for us today.
Yeah.
And we are very happy about it. What is the song called?
This song is Restless Soul. It's the last song.
It's the last song on the album.
Yeah.
Okay. And Restless Soul. Many musicians really do become restless souls because of the industry. Do you also feel that way?
Yeah, I see which way you're looking at it with the title. It's kind of just like a self-portraiture, really. To me, you know. Well, up till my life now, I have to be a little bit more kind of stable and focused in my life at the moment. I have a family, but I still have an element to myself, which is restlessness.
Mm-hmm.
When restlessness is not just a negative connotation, but also to create, I think. And that's positive. So.
Yeah.
But you were looking at it more like the music industry sort of angle, were you?
Not particularly, but also because of the fact that many musicians, whether it's like writing or creating, they also make long hours, being busy with music all the time. So that can also give you some kind of restlessness.
Mm.
It's not only because of the industry. We know all those stories there. So cliche.
Cliche, definitely.
Yeah.
There's another meaning to this song because the last 3 years I had to kind of watch this restlessness.
Right.
Because I was battling with Lyme's disease because I'd been bitten by a tick. And, I think I was an ideal host for such a pathogen.
Okay.
As this, you know, I don't know if you know much about this Lyme's disease.
Yeah, we know about it.
It's quite a trip.
It is, yeah.
It's quite a dangerous trip. Yeah. And
and it could take a long time before you figure out what it is.
Yeah, it's a real battle.
Yeah.
So I had to really alter how I lived my life.
Yes.
And being a restless soul was not helping me fight
this disease.
I had to just really slow down and be very grounded and really peaceful.
Yeah.
That helped my situation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's far from cliche. It's
it's very far
it's quite
from
a rare
cliche.
Thing.
But your son thinks you're a Superman, right?
I don't know about that. I
no?
think it may be still at the moment. Yeah, we're on the cusp of...
okay.
He's still young enough
to be
very proud and look up. Yeah.
Okay.
He said to me the other day, Daddy, I think it's pretty cool that you're a musician.
It is.
It's
cool, yeah. That was the very first time he ever said that.
Wow, he's so right.
So I was like, yes, get in there. But yeah, well,
you think there's this performing artist in him as well, musical talent?
Yeah, he plays the piano, but
he
humours my wife and I. But he's actually, as he gets better, he's paying more attention to it and showing some interest.
Nice.
But he's the kind of kid that doesn't really want to be in front of a camera. He's
a bit camera shy.
Yeah, he's definitely,
Okay.
Yeah. See, I don't want to perform.
No, maybe later.
Maybe
you never
later,
know.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to Restless Soul and let's enjoy that.
Restless soul, I'm a restless soul. It's a ragged road that I know. When the sun go down, farewell, Godspeed. From a one horse town like tumbleweed on a lonesome train. Hear the whistle blow, and I'm gone again. When the rooster crow, I'm a restless soul. I'm a restless soul. It's a ragged road that I know. Smoke burns my eyes, just a fog remains. Hear that lonesome cry like a dog in chains. I'm a restless soul. I'm a restless soul. My beating heart like the old does blow. I'm a restless soul. I could almost touch your deepest thought, but it hurts too much. Stone cold heart, grease and grit, just a poison dart in a piece of shit. Yeah, I'm a restless soul.
Blair, that's a great song.
Thank you.
So, I'm out of words right now, but...
I'm all out of
how That's another song.
Oh, my God.
A different story. What do you feel when you perform with a song like this?
Feel good.
Feel good. Very good.
It's healing. It's like, it's medicinal for me to sing. It's like, it's exercise. It's exercising my demons. Exercising my demons. Yeah. It's like letting them go.
Really good. I mean, you feel strength from it?
Yeah, it's empowering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much.
On a good gig.
Yeah. On a good gig.
Well, Burning Man, that's also one of your tracks.
I saw this video.
Yeah.
It's quite darkish some
you think
way.
So?
Well,
oh,
I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's the opening scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the director's decision to put in the actual you can't set fire to a burning man. Even someone said the song's called You Can't Set Fire to a Burning Man, but there's a burning man in there. It's like taking it literally, but
it was quite
if you're
literally
a filmmaker, sometimes you have to be literal, and that it did lend quite a dark sense to the song, but it's not meant to, but I guess it did, because you have a mummy that's burning and you're lighting.
Lighting the
You're flag. Lighting it.
Yeah.
That's quite a dark image. At least we weren't wearing pointed, white pointed hoods.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
That would have been totally the wrong meaning.
Yeah.
The wrong meaning. Well, I thought, this is such another dimension, because if you listen to the song, you don't get that feeling.
No, it's a totally different feeling listening than when you look at, then you watch the video. So maybe it was a mistake. I don't know, whatever.
No. But do you have any comments on the Burning Man Festival in Black Rock Desert, Nevada?
Well, I'd like to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a good festival to go to.
Yeah.
And it was the inspiration to the name of the song.
Yeah.
And like I was saying before, it was done the soundtrack to the Mad Axeman film that I was working on, which is about Frank Mitchell. He was connected to the Gray Twins.
Yeah.
These British gangsters in the 60s. And this film is about Frank Mitchell's final 11 days.
Okay.
When he was incarcerated in a flat in East London.
Yeah.
After he was broken out with the help of the Grays from the prison he was in Dartmoor, down in Devon. And the song is in that film. The film hasn't been released yet, but...
When is it going to be released?
It's pending.
Oh, it's
pending,
okay.
We're waiting for it to be picked up, I think, by...
Yeah.
By just as distributors are trying to... They're doing the business thing they do.
Yeah, always have to wait for that.
Boring.
Yeah.
Just get it out there so people can hear the music and see the film. It's a great film, you know, and it really deserves to be seen.
You're a sound designer, engineer?
Yeah.
Can you tell a bit more about that? Because that's very interesting
Well, I stumbled into that career...
Stumbled like having an Emmy nomination?
That's not stumbling at all.
I know. It's such a rare opportunity. Like, I know thousands of people that would try and would want to be in the film business as, you know, doing sound design. I mean, it's not as glamorous as lots of other jobs in the film business, but it's still a great creative thing to do. And
but what's more important, the glamour or doing it?
Doing it, of course.
Yeah.
I was when I got to London, I was doing some just any job to support my music.
Sure.
So that I could continue doing my music when I got to London. And I just was walking past this company, this building in Soho, and it said Cinema Sound, and I worked from my conversation earlier about learning producing and being interested in that and working in studios in New Zealand and learning the engineering side, I knew how to work this particular piece of kit. So I went and go, I'd love to work in the film business.
And they say,
handed in my CV. And like the next day, three people walked out of that business and went to the competitor.
Oh.
So it was just a chance. I went in at the right time.
Yeah.
And I was on the first... like BBC drama, like the next day.
Wow.
I couldn't particularly work what I said I could work as well as I could.
Yeah.
So there was an element of bagging. But
sometimes you have to do what you need to do.
Yeah, you've got to kind of big yourself up to get these opportunities. And that was the beginning of it. And which led to the Emmy nomination for Shackleton, which I did, I think, about 3 years after. It was just, you know.
Great.
Shackleton is an award-winning film, right?
Shackleton.
Yeah.
With Kenneth Branagh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I think it was on HBO in the States.
So that's major.
Yeah, it was. I. You know what? At the time, I just went, "What Emmy? So what?" But I didn't actually realize.
Yeah.
How big a deal it was. I think it was my father and his mates in the States were going, "This is actually
big.
This is pretty cool."
Yeah.
Emmy, and it did actually finally dawn on me that. Yeah. It was actually pretty cool, and I shouldn't be so flippant about it. And then I was like, hey, I've got an Emmy nomination. Emmy.
Yeah.
Blair, very serious question. What has been your best gig ever?
Apart from Hello Radio, there's been so many good gigs, but I think in New Zealand there's a place called the Sawmill, and it's just such a beautiful journey. Getting there through native New Zealand forest and beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
It's more the ride getting there that makes it the gig. But the Sawmill is an amazing place. And I always love playing there. If I compare it in a cab going through cold, wintry London to a divey bar
That's totally different.
It's quite up there. And actually, I could. Yeah, I'm probably going to start remembering them now. But yeah. I went to. I was invited. Me and my family were invited to a wedding of a good friend of mine, Carl, who's from New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And he
okay.
got married in the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And he's a very interesting man. He made his business in automobiles. He's quite crazy. Anyway, him and Jan were being married in Las Vegas, and we got there, and he goes, "Hey, why don't you play?" He knows I'm
but
a
you
musician.
Were invited as a guest?
Yeah, invited as a guest. I said, "Well, I didn't bring my guitar." He goes, "Well, we can get a piano here." I said, "Okay." And he went in the doors of this huge Bellagio ballroom open, and they reeled in a grand piano into the middle, and there were like 80 people around, and I played. I think it was Killer Landings and a couple of songs.
Yeah.
Oh, so that
that's
was pretty
so
cool.
nice.
Yeah.
Really
spontaneous
cool.
Spontaneous and and meaningful at a wedding.
Well, it's good to know.
I played at a few weddings, actually. Yeah. See, I'm starting to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
friends
a good thing.
And family.
Yeah.
I also noticed you performing with a band in St. John's Church in London.
Oh, yeah, church gigs.
The Ferris Wheel song.
Ferris Wheel. Oh, you've seen that.
Yeah,
band. I'd like to talk about my band because I wish they were here, but we couldn't afford a tour with the band this time around.
Understand.
But I have Johnny Hillier.
Yeah,
he's been with me for many years. He's on vocals and bass. And Monica Vignoli, she's from Las Canarias in Spain. She is an amazing violinist and also a great singer. And Borim Choi on piano. She's actually Spanish and Korean too. It's a bit of an international group of people. And Frankie David, she's Islandana. She's a great vocalist.
Vocalist
in
as
her
well.
Own right too.
Yeah.
And Maud Hodson on cello and Marcin on drums. He's Polish. There's, depends on the gig and how many people we pull in.
I thought it was very nice. A bit like you two eat your heart out.
Ah, okay.
Right, so cool. If you meet you two, you can say hello radio says so.
Okay. Yeah, and he'll go, wow, they said that?
Yeah. Nice. Anyway.
I have a last question for you, because you're a singer and songwriter for a long time now. But what does music really mean to you? What do you want to get across?
It's a feeling, really.
Just a feeling.
It's just a feeling to offer people some form of escape.
Right.
From
daily life?
Yeah. From reality. Not reality. Reality is a part of life.
Yeah.
But just to lose yourself in the music.
Okay.
You know, losing that zone between something, two things, just so they become one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice to hear.
What's on the agenda next few months?
So, immediately... Ghent, is that how you pronounce Ghent?
Ghent. Yes.
Ghent in Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing there on Saturday night at the Crossover. A band called The Construction Set, who are good friends of mine from Germany.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. And on Monday in Amsterdam at the Waterhole.
Okay. Nice. The Waterhole. Very famous, notorious place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good.
Very good,
Well. This is great. Blair,
thank
you very much for being here at Hello Radio.
Thank
and,
you.
And
good luck with your performances.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you come back to the Netherlands...
come and say hello.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Thank you.
I will.
Thank
Brilliant.
You.
Beste luisteraars, dat was het weer voor vandaag. Onze gastsprekers waren coupeuse Tamara Wessel, Hanny Visser, Inger Zijlstra en Tamara met de eerste aflevering uit de reeks over Cyrus... en de Engelstalige singer-songwriter Blair Jollens. Meer informatie over deze uitzending en onze gastsprekers kun je vinden op onze website helloradio.eu. Zometeen is hier Hello Radio Podcast over muzikale pioniers met radiomaker Code Kloet en vandaag aandacht voor Frank Zappa. Lekker blijven luisteren dus, fijne middag en tot volgende week.
Your folks have waited up for you. Now they've locked the door and turned off.